Welcome back to the Nullified Take channel on YouTube, where we've got the TNT takes for you on Survivor 46. It's premiere week, and with me again today, for the first time in quite a while, we've got Jake on the podcast. Jake, how are you doing?
Doing good. Really excited to have Survivor back on. Good episode. Yeah. Happy to talk
about it. Listen, I'm excited to have you back on. I'm still getting used to being back on Survivor 46 and back in Survivor the US. And I think it's a good thing that Kahuna pulled a classic Jelinski on us this morning and pulled out. You know, he quit before the podcast even started, because if we had Kahuna on here, I feel like there would have been a lot of comparisons to Australian Survivor that's also playing at the moment.
We don't need to hear that.
Yeah, it's tough, but a lot of it is true at the moment, which is not great. So I'm happy he's not here. I'm happy we're not going to go down the road of Australian Survivor too much, but it's hard not to compare Survivor US to Australian Survivor when they're airing at the same time.
That's true. But selfishly, Chris, I am also happy about that, because I have not been watching Australian Survivor. So I would, first of all, have no idea what you guys are talking about. And second of all, I wouldn't be able to chime in on anything. And that's really sad for the viewers too. So they'd be missing out on that.
I'll bring one or two things up about Australian Survivor here or there. It's going to be hard not to do it because of the fact that both shows are playing at the same time. But I'm trying to come in here with as clear of a mind as possible, you know? Chris is going to start talking to himself in third person, because, you know, I need to be in on this Jelinski legend sort of status that happened throughout this episode, you know? Will Jelinski go down as the biggest legend in Survivor since Zay Knight? Because I feel like it was the reincarnation of Zay Knight on our screens.
That was one of the craziest performances by the first person voted out that we've seen in a long time. And if you watched Jelinski's interview with Rob Cesternino on RHAP, he talks about, he gives a bit of a spoiler. He's like, the legend of Jelinski lives on throughout the rest of the season. Is like very ominous, very like
what?
Yeah, like so.
Is
I'm like,
this Age of Extinction coming back?
He said that they almost named the Merge Tribe after him. He said that they almost named the Merge Tribe Jelinski.
I don't know, man. Like, I just don't know if I can believe anything this kid says. Like, he was finding it hard to admit that he quit in the game as well. Like, he came up with a lot of stories while he was out.
Yeah, in that. We're kind of jumping ahead, but in that interview, he also claims that it was Q's idea to quit the sweat challenge.
I don't believe that for a second. But I don't believe that for a second, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah, regardless. We'll talk about it. He'll live on. We'll be talking about him for a while.
Yeah. We've got Chris back in the live. Chris, welcome back. Danica is here. Hey, you're on an hour earlier. I'm still at work. I know we had to change some things up slightly. Like I said, Kahuna pulled Jelinski on us. He doesn't quit anything but this podcast. That is the only thing that he did quit this morning. He doesn't feel too well this morning, so he had to jump out, and then Jake has got some other commitments. So we had to do a last-minute reshuffle. But hey, we're here now, so come and check it out later on if you can't watch it while at work. In fact, you know, I don't want you to get in trouble with your bosses over there. Jay, welcome back as well. No draft this season. I know this season has been tough. Like, I'm not going to – like, not this season specifically, but life has been super busy. I've had to move traders to the side at the moment. There's a lot going on with work that's been super busy as well. So due to that, we didn't do a draft this season, but we will be back at some point, you know, next season. There's always next season that we can do the draft. I know everybody enjoys it a lot. Maybe that's why Kahuna felt less, you know, wanting to jump in here. Like myself and Jake, we're getting a break from Kahuna's domination when it comes to the drafts this season. Let us have this season.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I was thinking, before you had confirmed to me that we weren't going to do a draft, I was already kind of thinking, who am I going to pick? And I had a few people in mind, and I was watching them throughout the episode, and I was like, really glad that we didn't do the draft, because I think that my picks wouldn't have been good. I wasn't thinking about picking Jelinski, if that's what you're worried about. But there are a few.
To be honest with you, this season was so different for me, because I came into it not having done any prep. Like, I mean, normally for drafts, I would do a little bit of prep. I would like look at the videos, which we normally get it horribly wrong in any case. Like, very rarely do we get it right. I mean, I got Yam Yam right, but I got it right because I love characters. That was why I chose him. I didn't choose him because I honestly thought he was going to win the season, and he ended up winning it. But, you know, coming into this season, I had no idea. So for me, looking at it, you know, I really wasn't invested in anyone specifically. And even at the end of the episode, Jake, I don't know if you feel this way as well. Like, do you have favorites? Like, do you have people where you're like, these are my people. They need to go. And it's early. It's the first episode. It's hard to pick in the first episode. I just feel like compared to last season, I don't have those people from the start that are standing out for me. Maybe Q. I kind of like Q. I feel like Q's maybe one of the few people I would be able to
watch out the game. I was literally going to say, I was like, probably Q is like the only guy where I came out. I was like, I like him. But yeah, everyone else, no, like, you know, bad feelings towards anyone really. I guess besides Jelinski, but he's gone. And yeah, so I agree with you. I guess, but I sort of feel this way every season. I kind of need a couple episodes to like really kind of get a feel for everybody and know like who I'm rooting for. But yeah, I think more than ever this season, I'm really just not feeling it at all.
Yeah.
Not that this season is bad so far. I thought it was a great episode, but
I'm a bit lower on the season's start than you for reasons, but I'm also one of those people, I'm optimistic that the show can get better. It's the first episode. The one thing for me that's been very difficult is that Survivor 46, like the whole new era, and I've been saying this for a while, feels like Groundhog Day. Like it feels like we're just going through the same, a very long Survivor season. Like I even said on Twitter very briefly, and I very rarely, or X, whatever they call it now, very rarely engage too much online, but I just said, like, you know, has the producers gotten that lazy? Like they're just not changing anything about the format of the show. Like we're seeing Sweat and Savvy again. If you look on X, people are hating it. They're like, what are we doing? Why are we doing Sweat and Savvy? You have Sweat and Savvy. Yeah. Like it doesn't even matter. It's the
sixth season in a row that we've done it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it does not matter at all because as soon as you get to the immunity challenge, Jeff's tells them, like, as soon as you get back to camp, guess what? You've got all your supplies. So why are we doing it? Like, why are people – I mean, I know people don't want Jelinski to quit anything, but I can kind of understand where he was coming from. How important was winning that challenge versus preserving energy going into the next day for immunity if you're going to get everything in any case? Like, there is no real consequences to losing Sweat and Savvy.
Yeah, I feel like the only sort of consequence it had was just reinforcing any bad feelings they had towards Jelinski. Like it was just like the cherry on top of like everything else that they had an issue with, you know. It's just like, yeah, he did all this, you know, terrible stuff, like couldn't, you know, gave up his vote for these random people. And that also was horrible. Quit earlier. That was terrible, and we'll get into that.
I could definitely see, like, you know, again, Sweat and Savvy quitting on that. Maybe he would have gotten away with it if he didn't follow that up by quitting on something else, and we'll talk about that definitely. But let's say hello to a few more people now. Ferris is here in the podcast as well, one of the players for Australian Survivor. Thank you so much for jumping in. Ferris is the big character, I would say, of this season. He's kind of like the George of this season of Australian Survivor. So love having you here, Ferris. Thank you for checking out the podcast this early in the morning over here in Australia. Jay saying they gave Jelinski the episode title for a reason. This is where legends are born, correct? Chris is saying, okay, with that new podcast info, I am happy he's gone, not the merge tribe name. Yeah, let's hope not. Chris couldn't handle losing Kahuna to Kahuna again. Yeah, I know. You got me. We're Venus.
Maybe Ferris, you know, you were saying that Kahuna pulled a Jelinski. Maybe we pulled a Jelinski by not doing the draft. We're just like, if we're gonna lose to Kahuna anyways, let's just not even try, you know.
Yeah, but he thought he was one step ahead. We were already three steps ahead by the time that
this season jokes started. On you, Kahuna, we're not even gonna attempt to beat you.
Ferris has got his favorite there. He's saying Venus is standing out for him, the new Parvati of Survivor. I mean, listen, this is why Parvati is a legend. Her name gets thrown around every single season. Like every season someone's Parvati. And I found it hilarious how she thought that, like, it is a compliment, I guess, in some ways, but she didn't even look like she was fazed by that comment at all. Like, you know, you should be worried. If somebody compares you to Parvati, you're a threat.
Nobody says like, yeah, I want to be allies with this person because they're like Parvati. No, they say I want to get rid of this person because they're like poverty. So yeah, she should have been, although she did seem concerned because then she immediately started searching for idols and started to, you know, change her mindset a bit. But yeah, you're right. She was like not fazed by that at all. It was like, she was like, yeah, I'm poverty. I already know. So what?
Yeah, it's just, it's interesting. And I know, you know, we're talking about all of the highlights and going a bit here and a bit there, but that's kind of how we do it on the podcast. But in that moment where Venus goes and looks for the idol, was such a weird conversation as well, where she was talking to who's the guy on that tribe, the older guy. I think it was Randon, right? She was talking to Randon.
Yeah.
And they were having this conversation, sounded pretty innocent. And suddenly she's just, and I don't know where it came from. Oh, I'm a threat. He's clearly coming for me. And I'm like, I did not hear that in the conversation that you were having with Randon at all. Like, I just didn't get where that came from. And she just ran off and started looking for an idol. Like, I don't know. I don't know about Venus, Ferris. She's going to be good TV. So if she's half the TV that you've been for us here on Australian Survivor this season, then I'm all in. You know, I like myself some messy game.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe he sees something. Maybe, you know, good TV can snuff out other good TV. Maybe he's got some idea. Yeah.
We're all Team TV over here, you know, 100% Team TV. Talking about Team TV, before we get back towards this season, did you notice that a certain Mr. TV himself came out of hiatus on social media very recently?
I did. I did notice that.
Yeah. So Tony Vlachos, for those who are not aware, suddenly has got a social media presence. And traditionally, the only time he's ever on social media is when he is actually actively playing Survivor. A lot of rumors going around that he may be on Traitors Season 3.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be a massive gain if they do get him. But I feel like with Survivor players doing so well on Traitors the last couple of seasons, it's going to be a tough ask. It's going to be a very tough
ask. That's true. That is very true.
Yeah. Chris here saying, oh my God, exactly. Groundhog Day. No more sweat or savvy, please. Totally agree with that. Like I said, US Survivor feels more like it's edited to care about people's stories instead of their actions in the game, at least in the beginning. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the start of this episode. You know, they come in with a boat. It's the classic, get in with a boat. Jeff's waiting on the beach. You get the flashbacks of the stories from back home. We all were asking for those flashbacks and stories from home not that long ago, because Australian Survivor did it extremely well. Now Australian Survivor almost don't do them anymore. And Survivor US is full in on them. And it feels like, I don't know, like I wasn't that invested in the stories this early on. I wanted to see them get on the beach, introduce them to me first. Maybe it's the timing of when they show this flashbacks. Maybe if it's like 2-3 episodes in, and you've learned that you've gotten to know them on the beach first, their character, and then you maybe invest a little bit more. I don't know. Something about the timing just doesn't feel right for me with it being in my face first thing.
I agree with you. I feel like that's what they do, at least when they used to do it in Australian Survivor. They would show it, you know, maybe, yeah, once they already like had a few confessionals, and then it was like, hey, here's even more about me from home. Yeah, I'm with you. And not only that, but I don't even remember who got one. I think, okay, actually, I just remembered Hunter did. If anyone else did, I cannot for the life of me remember it.
Hunter is another person I think I would get along with outside of the game. He seems normal. I don't know how he made it onto Survivor, because they're really not looking for normal people anymore. They're looking for people that have got out there personalities. But I was also thinking about it, like, you know, if there were like, if we had to recast these people onto Australian Survivor, who would actually make the cast? And I actually think Hunter wouldn't make it, based on the fact that he's not a big enough personality. They do have big personalities. Q, in my mind, was probably the only person that I could see from this cast make it on Australian Survivor. Like, I feel like he would be casted, because he would also physically be able to do the challenges on Australian Survivor, which is pretty demanding. But yeah, Hunter got a flashback. I believe Jess got one. But Jess's one was very worrying right from the start. She spoke about being socially awkward. I believe she's an identical twin. And then for the first half of my notes that I took on Survivor, I remembered Charlie as the Taylor Swift guy, because that's what he spoke about in that flashback. Yeah. He's got his Eras gear and everything, and massively into the Taylor Swift side of things.
Your girlfriend converted
you into a Taylor Swift fan as well?
Honestly, yes. That's funny. Yeah, she's a big Taylor Swift fan, and I no shame in it. I really like her music as well. You know, she's always like watching, you know, the live streams of her concerts when she plays the she plays a song that's not originally in the set list. She always plays like a new one every concert. She's always watching it, and I watch with her. No shame.
Hey, listen, I'm not the biggest Taylor Swift fan. Like, I can listen to one or two songs. At work a couple of weeks ago, she was in Australia. She came here, so people preparing to go watch Taylor Swift had her on repeat at work the whole time. And there's only that much breakup songs I can listen to in succession before it gets a bit much for me. But she's obviously very successful. I don't hate on that. There's a lot of fans out there. And I think this is something that for Charlie, you know, it's going to help him a lot with the girls. We see it early on. Like, immediately they gravitate towards him. He's able to immediately connect with them, and they want to work with him. Charlie's Angels, you know, so great fun there as well.
I think that Charlie could be in a really good spot if he sort of is aware of what's going on with this alliance, because they said they want him because they feel like he's the easiest to control.
Yeah.
To convince. If he is aware of that and knows, I see it too, but if he can kind of pick up on that, that's why, then he can fool them later on. Like, he can, you know, keep playing up this act and then just cut them when they least expect it, because they're just expecting him to keep going along with what they're saying. So I'm interested to see what goes on there.
Danica saying maybe Tony is going on the Challenge CBS. I would love to see Tony on the Challenge CBS. The only problem is I feel like Tony maybe like 50 already, and the challenge would be pretty demanding to go into. But I would just love for him to be there for TV. Any time we can get Tony on our screens, I'm the biggest fan. So I'm all good with that. Jay says Tevin's monologue was amazing to start the season. And yeah, like, Jeff must have ate that all up when Tevin said it. And when we talk about characters that look like they're going to be fun and we're going to be rooting for them this season, we spoke about Q, probably both of us. That's the person who we feel like is probably the best of the characters so far. Tevin definitely has potential to sort of get in there as well. Like, I do think he's also another fun character this season. So great monologue, great way to start the season.
He's a great character so far, but he is able to, like, you know, he's pretty out there, you know.
Yeah.
He even said himself, he's like, he's in the entertainment business, so he's just naturally a very outgoing guy. But, like, he's playing with the right mindset. You know, he already sees Hunter as a potential ally for him. And I think that's really smart, because people might not, you know, pick up on that they would be allies. You know, I think he's got the right balance of, you know, being pretty out there, but is, you know, still focused on the game.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Reality Realness, welcome, saying hi. How do you feel about Jeff saying that they no longer want to cast villains on the show? I, to be honest with you, I feel like that 30 minutes with Rob kind of just confirmed why Jeff is out of touch. Like, he's really out of touch with the fandom. And there, don't get me wrong, there's going to be probably 40% of people out there that's going to hate me for saying this, because there are people who really enjoy the direction that the show is going into. For me, I've gotten to that point now where I have to admit the show is on the steady decline. And it hurts me to say this, because I wouldn't be doing podcasting. I would never have met Jake if it wasn't for Survivor, right? So, and I would never probably have met you, Reality Realness, Chantel, if it wasn't for Survivor. So I hate to say it, but it's just, it's not good. Like, he needs to take a step back from it and really think about what he's doing with the direction of the show, because we haven't had any returning seasons. You know, villains make the show great. Like, this season on Australian Survivor, we've got multiple villains playing the show. Like, the whole thing about Rebels versus Titans kind of has that theme of almost heroes versus villains as well. There are players who are not afraid to be controversial and they're not afraid of the backlash that it may cause, where when it comes to the current generation of Survivor, I feel like they're choosing safe options. They're choosing people who will toe the company line, will not go too crazy, or, you know, won't go too far to basically end up getting the money at the end, which is, you know, the show was built on the back of villains. Like, the very first season had a naked gay guy, Richard Hatch, who became one of the biggest villains in the game, win the show. And that is what juggernauted it into success. If you can't realize what made the show successful to begin with, what are you doing, Jake? Like, I know you're happy, and I don't want to take away from your enthusiasm for this season, but I'm really worried because, like, you know, I feel like Jeff always moves the line just a little bit more towards his own creative direction, which is further away from what I used to enjoy from the show. So he's done it now in this era. What's he going to do between 50 and 60? Where's it moving to next, you know?
That's a great question. I think that Jeff just doesn't make a lot of sense what he says these days. I think that he, in the past, has sort of been on the same page as the fans, you know, with, like, I think this was like 10 years ago or something, but he, like, gave a ranking of his favorite seasons. Number one, Heroes vs. Villains.
Yeah, who can, like, deny that?
I mean, first of all, yeah, right? Like, everyone loves that season. He loved it. You know, there's
half of the season was villains.
That's exactly it. You know, it's like and it's like some of his favorite players, Parvati, Sandra, Moss and Rob, Russell, those are villains. Those are the reason. That's why people like them. Like,
it's become soft, man. I've seen it with my dad, to be honest with you. Like, my dad used to be this very, you know, from a different generation, almost never did hugs. Like, he was, like, very stoic, you know, and, yeah. You know, you need to work hard, never quit, that kind of. And now, as he's getting older, he's becoming softer. And I think the same thing's happening with Jeff. He's just, it's natural evolution. You just become a softer human being. But that is why someone like Jeff, I feel like, needs to actually have someone else there in the creative as well that he can respect as an equal that can pull him in a different direction. Because I do feel like, because he's been in power of Survivor for so long, he is now surrounded by a bunch of yes people, people who will agree with him. And I look back at casting and them losing the previous casting director. Maybe she was someone that was kicking against the stream. Like, I don't know the behind the scenes. I wasn't there. I haven't read enough about it, but you know, the new person obviously is just doing what he wants in regards to this. And a great example of this is the amount of people that are coming into the show where I find it hard to relate to players that are crying, like, on day one. Like, they're already emotionally going through all these roller coasters and things. Like, maybe if you have one player that's like that, that's okay. But this is day one in a 26-day game, Jake, and they're already breaking down emotionally. And I'm like, what's happening here? Like, this is not the Survivor of old. Like, this is not where players, you know, we had some really hard individuals play the game in the past that could take the beating, and they were playing it for a lot longer. You know, they were out there for 39 days. So I don't know. It's something is just a little bit off. I don't want to go too negative. I don't want to be too negative, but I hear your reality realness. I don't know about it. You know, Chris saying here, I should tell Jeff needs to have no say in casting. I don't know. If Jeff is willing to take a step back from that, you know, I just don't know. He's a great host, though. He's a great host. It's just the creative side.
Well, I just don't. You know, not to get anyone's hopes down, but I mean, he's not going to take a step back. You know, like, if he were to take a step, the only reason I could see him do that is, you know, there's too much on his plate. And if that's the case, then he probably would just step away as a whole, you know? And I don't like that, you know, I could be wrong about this, but as far as I understand how the casting process works, the casting people, you know, look at videos and do like one or two like phone calls or interviews. But then the final step is you have an interview with Jeff.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't like you, or if he, like, you know, basically if he doesn't love you, as far as I understand, you're not getting on, you know? And that's, you know, I guess that's not necessarily a bad thing,
but
that he likes you, but
Here's the problem that I see with that, right? Is that sometimes when we watch these shows, we've seen it even in drafts. Like, I'll use an example. Last season, Emily Flippin. I had this thing about her. I'm like, don't like this girl. You know, just don't like her. Like, you know, a lot of things she did in the first couple of episodes. Towards the end, I was like, wow. Like, I have to respect how she's changed my mind. Similar thing happened with Caroline in two seasons ago. So I feel like sometimes you need to have someone that will say, there's something here that you're not seeing. Even if you don't like this person, they're going to go on the show and surprise you. And I feel like Jeff is robbing himself from the opportunity to be surprised by people out there, you know, because everybody there, he's got so much of a hand on in getting on the show. But anyways, I don't want to go down to Jeff bashing part of the podcast for too long here. But let's have a look at a few more comments here. Michael Mucky in the live here saying, Jelinski obviously listened to my podcast and how to play the greatest first boot game. So he took your shine there, Mucky. Now, if you go on, it's going to be very hard to top, is all I'm going to say. Round three is saying, seriously, in order for there to be a hero, there has to be a villain. Totally agree. Shannon must love Charlie. I'm assuming Shannon is also a big Taylor Swift fan. I'm assuming. I don't know. Palava Girl says, yes, Charlie was really interesting to me. Also, Soda and Hunter for different reasons I'm rooting for. The Andy Griffin Alliance. What did you think of that? I'm not the biggest Andy Griffin fan. Like, is that the Family Guy?
No. That is Peter Griffin. Peter Chris. Griffin.
Who's Eddie Griffin? Andy, the writer.
Eddie Griffith is... I'm not probably the best person to ask about this, but I mean, I think he's an old 62 actor years old, and comedian. Yeah, I think, I mean, the Andy Griffith Show is from like the 60s.
Right. So it's really random.
Pretty random. Yeah, that they, I mean, I know they've done reruns. They do reruns all the time. If there's another show, I Love Lucy, if you've ever heard of that. Another show, I think from the 60s that as a kid, you know, for me was always showing up on cable, you know, so I've seen that show a lot. So they must've just both happened to always watch reruns of it. I don't know.
Yeah. Chris saying,
kinda interesting.
Chris didn't grow up watching old American TV reruns on TV and it shows. Yeah. It probably didn't make its way to South Africa growing up. I don't.
Must not have. Kind
of,
yeah.
Yeah. This is not a part of my growing up watching these old shows. But also, Jay, I just want to bring up this comment here saying, I think people misunderstand Jeff. He said he doesn't want assholes on the show like Russell, but people still can be villainous yet not be jerks about it. yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's better, but still, like, you shouldn't be so afraid to make sure that everybody on the show is, like, not an asshole. Like, obviously, there's a line that people shouldn't cross, but like, that's I feel like that's pretty far of like a range that people can still be in, and you're just completely disregarding that now.
Yeah, we had a character on Australian Survivor this season that every time his tribe won, he would do the owl sign to the other tribe. And it was so good. It was such good TV.
That's really funny. See,
and that's the characters we need.
I see. Like, I think we need people that are willing to be sort of like an antagonistic and confrontational to people. You know, like I like that, and I think we're like that is where we can get some really awkward moments in the best way possible. That are just like you're just like gripped, and you're just like, oh, this is good.
Yeah, Gabe saying it was Kahuna's favorite, Tobias, who did the L sign after every single challenge.
That's really and
it just
funny.
It makes the downfall just so much better, like when it comes. Like, so you get invested. Like, if you don't feel a certain type of way towards these people and you're like, I really freaking despise this person. And it's one of the reasons why, for me, the challenge has started outshining Survivor, because the challenge is not afraid of controversial characters at all. They cast them season in and season out. Their biggest characters are villains as well. And they really don't care. Like, the controversial characters bring the drama in some cases. But again, it's hard. Like, I understand with Russell how he is outside of the game and how he's still so bitter about everything that happened so many years ago. It's like, I understand. I wasn't in his body. I didn't play the game and didn't experience what he experienced. But at some point, you got to let that stuff go. You got to let it slide. Like, you know, and he's still so bitter right now. I feel like he's even gotten worse over the time. But so we get into the three tribes here. They, you know, Jeff right up being sassy, talking about one of you can never win. Like, just telling them straight up.
Yeah.
So Sassy Jeff is back, but very cold.
I thought that was really interesting that he brought that up. First of all, out of pocket, Jeff, like, come on. But also at the same time, like, he's not wrong. And that's actually really interesting to think about. Like, there literally is one person, no matter what that just cannot win.
And I love the follow-up comment that he had on that, where he was like, and this is the thing about Survivor players and their confidence. None of you think that it can be you. You're all nodding your heads. And I'm like,
Jelinski is sitting there like, yeah, not me.
Yeah, whatever. It's not me. and this is why I'm saying, like, yes, we've been bagging on Jeff a bit for being the showrunner and the creative directions and stuff like this. But when Jeff is in his pocket, when he is doing the hosting part, he does have an understanding of this game like very few people do. And he can make these observations because he's been out there longer than anybody else. So this is when you look at it and you say, when Jeff hits it on the head, man, he hits it on the head. Like, this is what you do well, Jeff. Keep, you know, I guess, analyzing the game. Be that host that we all love, you know, because for many years, you can't not be a fan of Jeff's total body of work. It's gotten us to 46 seasons, you know? So, and this is the reason why. For me, it was a great opening. They obviously go into the challenge, which, you know, for them, one of them would come back from that and not have to do the sweat and savvy. And, you know, with that, basically, I believe it was Orange. Yeah, Orange was the one who won right up the bat. And then Green was second, who could choose between sweat and savvy, and Purple then had to do sweat. And we spoke a little bit about that. Both of these challenges ended up failing. Is there much you wanted to say about Sweat and Savvy? Did it feel to you like they tried to make them fail this season, like it was extra hard compared to normal?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Both of them looked ridiculous. The Savvy, where it was like pointing out all the letters that said like dig under or something, just in completely random spots. How in the world was anybody
going to figure that out?
To figure that out? Like, I don't blame them at all for like, but I did find it funny that they like did try to look underneath and still missed it. But like for them not finding the clue, like, I don't even know what else you're supposed to do. They're just, the letters were not even like together, like whatever. Sweat also looked ridiculous. I know that
holes
like they,
in the bucket, small bucket,
and those containers were massive, and there were two of them, and they only got 4 hours. Like, that's, I guess it's kind of hard to conceptualize how, you know.
Well, how, Q is fit, and he was struggling out there. Like that. That's what I always look at it on TV, and I think to myself, I've got an engine on me. Like, endurance is one of those things. No matter how tired I get, I can just keep pushing. That's why I'll be doing my first Spartan race in April, first time in 4 years. I've been training for it, really looking forward to that. But that's why I can do those kind of obstacle course races, is because my engine just keeps going. But you look at a guy like Q, who's clearly a specimen, and he was struggling out there. I think that's like where I look at it and I'm like, yeah, Chris, it's not as easy as you think sitting on the couch watching it. It's a tough challenge to do. So definitely hard to complete. 4 hours, they should have been given several hours. Yes, 7 hours, right?
That, I mean, did Jelinski like just see that several starts with Sev? And it's just like,
I feel like it.
That must be the same Latin root of the word seven. So it means 7 hours. Like, that was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard on this show. Like, I don't know where you get that from.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I think the biggest reason they keep it in the game, the sweat and savvy, is because it gives people the opportunity to go back to camp and move into these different pockets where they can strategize. So there's actually never a benefit in being one of the two people that are going to have to go do this, because you're out of conversations right off the rip in a six-person tribe where numbers is so essential, right?
Yeah.
And you have people talking. Maria and Tim kind of like connects on the parent sort of dynamic in the alliance there. But I think early signs are showing that Tim he's a little bit wiser than some of the other guys on that tribe. And I think that's going to be his downfall. Like, if I had to look at Green right now, Maria's got the numbers. Tim is noticing the girls sort of coming together. Charlie's going to be that double agent. He's going to go back to his angels. I just feel fearful for Tim.
Who's the other guy on that tribe? besides Tim and Charlie?
I will tell you in a second. It's Tim, who we just had, Charlie, and Ben. Ben, the musician,
I just think you're totally right. Tim has already shown he sees it. He sees the girls are together, and they definitely are, you know, going to want to stick together and try to take out one of the guys. And I think that Maria is probably thinking, yeah, Tim is probably the smartest of those three guys. We're going to bring in Charlie, probably going to, you know, save Ben, because, you know, he's probably still pretty good at challenges and, you know, isn't really none the wiser. So they're going to take out Tim first, probably. Because he's the most...
From No More Music here, Breakdown Glass gets several years of bad luck.
That was okay. Why did he break the hourglass?
Because it's legendary. It's like it's going
to
be in
he's just adding on to the legend of
that broken hourglass is going to make its way back to Ghost Island season 2. And then Jelinski was like, see,
yeah,
this is why I'm a legend.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
I'm a little bit worried for Tim in that group and how I think everything's gonna play out. Ben and Charlie already had that moment where they kind of connected. He's fun loving. He's just there for the vibes, and having someone for the vibes, I don't think he's gonna get any sort of heat coming his way. Mm-hmm. For Orange Tribe, who do we have there? We had Hunter and Tevin kind of socializing, coming together. Tevin's this big extroverted guy, and Hunter's kind of a bit more of an introvert. He's struggling to connect with a lot of these big personalities. I feel like it's a match made in heaven. Hunter and Tevin just will be that balance if they can find a way to work together in the game. I can see this alliance becoming a big threat in the game. And, you know, Tevin is just going to be running the show, being the social person that he is, and Hunter's just going to be that loyal number that he can rely on. Because I don't think Hunter's got that ability in him, and I could be wrong. This is the first episode. I acknowledge that, and I'm watching an edited show, but it doesn't feel like Hunter's a conniving kind of player. He feels like the player you look out for when you play Survivor to align with.
You just took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say the exact same thing. Yet Hunter is going to be a loyal number, which I think is exactly what Tevin was saying is the appeal of Hunter. So that just goes to show even more. I'm impressed with Tevin's mindset so far, sort of picking up on that Hunter is just sort of this like level-headed, calm, loyal guy. I mean, that's sort of like the Southern value type vibe that he brings, that I think Tevin is also from the South as well. Loyalty and honesty, whatever, that's just sort of a thing down there.
Chris coming out here. Chris with her... I almost want to say she's not a mother as far as I'm aware, but it's like almost like your mother instincts kicked in here saying breaking the glass on the beach where everybody is going to walk around barefoot.
Production crew was watching, they're like, well, thanks a lot, asshole, now we're gonna have to clean all that up for you, or just let you just get cuts on your feet. Like, yeah.
Palava saying, only problem is girl alliances have been cursed since Black Widow Brigade, if I'm not mistaken, Ruburu effect. It doesn't work up very often, but we did have the One World Girl Alliance after the Black Widow Alliance, who did dominate as well. But you're right, there are not many girl alliances. But I'm also happy about that, because there's not many boy alliances that have, like, dominated either. Like, I don't want boy and girl alliances to be created. Like, it's so Survivor, you know, I don't know, 101, like old school, just play with people you like, you know, instead of doing this. But in the 6-person tribes, unfortunately, we've spoken about this in previous podcasts, you're going to go back to your most basic instincts, which is to align with people that you can relate to. And the boy and girl thing become even more of an issue in a 6-person tribe, basically.
And it's just like, it's just sort of like something just obvious off the cuff. Like, oh yeah, that's what we have in common. So let's, stick together.
Gab is saying on Nami, it's Venus versus Raiden who's leaving first, I think. And I wanted to bring this up. So because I spoke about Venus sort of losing her mind and going out and looking for an idol, the thing that triggered Venus was the word princess. And it was Tevin who said it. And suddenly, because she was called a princess, she's clearly the target. So she ran off and looked for an idol,
That's what I for some reason I had the idea that it was the Parvati comment that set her off to go. You're right, it was the princess comment. Yeah,
it was weird. Like, I just didn't get it. And then Randan obviously catches Venus, then makes the comment to Soda that he thinks she's going to be like a Parvati in the game, and Soda immediately runs back to Venus to go and tell her about this. So now we've got the Venus versus Raiden sort of rivalry that's being set up in this tribe. And I agree, probably one of them will be the first one to go home in this tribe.
Yeah, we didn't see a lot of that tribe. I feel like that's the tribe we saw the least of in this episode.
Well, Tevin got most of the screen time in that tribe.
That's true. Yeah, it was mainly just him. Yeah.
Yeah. The Green Tribe, we had Charlie, obviously, like we said, with the Taylor Swift fan. We're talking about mixtapes. Who do you listen to? Taylor Swift came up for him. I don't know. Like, who's on your mixtape, Jake? Like, who do you want to give a shout out to? Like, if you were asked on Survivor, who do you listen to the most on your playlist? Who would it be?
Tame Impala. Big Tame Impala guy. I like... Tame Impala is sort of like, besides Tame Impala, like, I'm all sort of like 70s type bands, like Fleetwood Mac. Oh,
wow. Yeah.
Huge Fleetwood Mac guy. Billy Joel. Really love Billy Joel. In fact, I actually saw Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks had a show in Phoenix a couple months ago that I went with my girlfriend. Those are probably like the first couple people I'd mention. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Chris?
For me, I'm real into, I love lyrical rap, like old rap, old school rap. So I'm a big Eminem fan. I've been a fan for a very long time. So every year on Spotify, Eminem is like my most played artist. And then outside of that, it'll probably be someone like Kendrick Lamar, probably someone like, I like The Weeknd. The Weeknd's got some good music as well. I do like Logic. An NF, two other rappers as well that I do listen to quite a bit. But in general, I would say if I'm not into the mood of listening to like really good lyrics on rap or anything like that, I also mix it up with things like Mumford and Sons, like really folky kind of music and stuff like that. So I've got the contrast between the two. Yeah.
Yeah. You and I, we got pretty different
tastes.
Yeah.
But I love music. I'm a lover of music in general. So, like, if it's good music, I can sit down and jam out to it. Like, growing up in South Africa, music is very much a part of the culture. Like, you grow up and you... So, obviously, we've got, like, local South African artists we would listen to as well that probably isn't as well known in America. But it's massive over there. Like, you know, you get real into it. No South African artists. Okay, I'm being asked. Since I'm being asked, you probably wouldn't know who some of these people are. But I love... Jebels Fantastis, which is I don't know how to pronounce it in English, but Jebels Fantastis is a great band. I do like Bok van Blerk as well. There's a few South African artists as well that I'm really sort of into. So maybe at some point we need to like react to South African artists on the channel. I'll educate you guys in there a little bit. And there's the new girl who's just come out. Is it Tyler, who's the one who just did the water song that's just won the Grammy this year? She's from South Africa. I think it's called Tyler. Yeah, it's Tyler.
Huh.
So she just won. I'm pretty sure she just won an award in America because it went viral over in America, the song. Can't play it, unfortunately. But yeah, her music's good.
I probably know this. I just don't know it by the name.
I can play it for you afterwards, and I'm sure you would have seen or heard it, because probably. It was all over TikTok at one point as well. Everybody was making TikToks to it. Okay, so where were we? We talked about the mixtape. We talked a little bit about Tim, quite a bit about this tribe already, the Green Tribe and the dynamic there. We then get the boat coming. And again, like I said, when I'm talking about Groundhog Day, Decision Island's back. Why? Like, you know, Jelinski is like, this is where legends are made. You get on a boat, you get given an advantage, and you're a legend and Survivor. And this is another reason where, for me personally, Jake, I'm sorry. They're forcing advantages on players in the game. In Australia, you have to earn it. You have to go find it. You have to go look for it. It's not given to you on a silver platter. Can we just let this thing go? Like, can we just let sleeping dogs lie at this point?
This is where, you know, I'm sorry. I'm going to slightly bash on Jeff for like another second, but One thing in that interview with Rob Cesternino, Rob asks about season 50. He's like, that's a huge milestone. Are you going to do anything big for it? Are you going to get returning players? And Jeff's answer was sort of like, I mean, his answer was basically, we're going to do something big, but we don't know what it is yet because we haven't had the chance to think about it because we're so focused on thinking of new ideas for 47 and 48 and 49. And in my head, I was thinking, like,
what has changed?
What has been changing season to season that much? Like, the only thing I can think of from like 41 to 44, that era that changed to 45 is they added a tribe swap.
Yeah.
That's kind of the only thing I can think of. That was a big thing with me, at least 41 to 44. No tribe swap. I was over it. They at least changed that. But even then, like you just laid out, you know, especially now 45 and 46 are going to have basically the same formula. And I'm just, yeah, it's just bothering me.
I hear no lies in your statement there, Jake. So, yeah. Chris, bring up here that card game was so dumb. One of the biggest Survivor flops.
The only Jelinski made it more interesting than it had any right to
by
folding just immediately.
And it shows that Q had the right read on him from the start. You quit at one thing in the game, you're going to fold very easily later on the game. And he said he lied for a minute. This wasn't like a back and forth for like 20 minutes. Oh, I don't know how to make a decision. Okay, guys, we've been out here for 20 minutes. We need to make a decision. I'm just going to come out or whatever, an hour or 2 hours. And you think back of like Tom and Eric at Final Three in Palau, being out there for like freaking, I don't know, it was like like a day, like 13 hours on a challenge.
It was like 13 hours or something, yeah.
13 hours they were out there and none of them wanted to quit. And how would someone like a Jelinski, this new breed of Survivor player, how would they have done with some of the old school players when it comes to just will and sheer determination?
In that specific challenge that Tom and Ian did, I don't know if I could name a single player from the past couple seasons that would have gone that long, let alone two that would have, you know, that would have taken it to that length. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. He folded very quickly. Maria read him like a book. Again, like a lot of people are ready to say Maria's like a queen for this. Like, let's hold off. It was Jelinski. It's not like she like went up against like a really formidable opponent in this moment and made him flop. Yeah. So like, let's just wait before we like, you know, say she's the next big thing. Like I'm all here for it. I think, so far.
Yeah. But Maria so far, it wasn't that impressed me. It's everything. That plus what she's been doing back at camp. It just seems like she's
kind of the challenge.
And the challenge as well. She did very well. Yeah.
Just remember her like putting that puzzle piece on her back, running on it with it on her own?
Right, yeah.
It's heavy puzzle pieces, man. Like, I was more impressed by that than her getting Jelinski to flop.
Yeah, getting Jelinski to admit it, not that crazy. But she's got, at camp, she's clearly the most well-connected of everybody. Yeah.
Talking about, you know, obviously going back to camp here, there's a couple of more highlights, and I know you're sort of short for time. So if any time you do need to bounce out, just let me know and I can finish it off here with the live on a couple of topics as we still talk through it. But, you know, going back to camp here, one of the big ones I did want to talk to you while we've still got you on the podcast was with Tiffany finding the box and needing to go get the key. It's the Beware advantage. She needs to get the key so she can unlock it. I believe, and this is where I kind of blanked out at some point, the clue to how to get the key was in the challenge, right? They got it in the challenge. Was that right? Or did I blank out somewhere? Because I missed how she got the clue that she needed to decipher.
That is a very good question. I cannot remember. It just seemed like that she came back to camp, but she just had it.
It must have been in the challenge.
Or, you know what I think it was? They probably put it in her bag.
Maybe. It was very confusing.
Because, yeah, it said you will get the clue for this once your tribe loses immunity. So, yeah, maybe it was in their bag, but I don't know.
Yeah, got it at camp. I was so confused by that. I felt like I missed something. But
also, is it just me or did she, like, fly through that deciphering that.
Yeah, yeah. She mentioned that she's quite visual. She mentioned she's quite visual and she could put the patterns together. I wanted to bring this up, and I know you've got no reference for this, but again, we have to bring up Australian Survivor and compare it to Survivor US, because in Australian Survivor this season, they also had an idol in a box that was locked. The Australian Survivor player who ended up finding this box with a lock on it decided, you know what? I'm just going to smash through it. Here's a rock. It looks nice and big.
That's what I was thinking.
Took the idol.
Yeah.
And they were, and it was a legitimate idol. They were able to play it because the rules didn't state you're not allowed to smash your way through the box. So I'm wondering in Survivor US if the rules clearly states you're not allowed to break the box, because otherwise I would do the same thing. Why go through all of the effort?
That's so interesting, because if I were in that spot, that would it went through my head when I saw it in this episode. I don't know you're kind of stuck in that spot. You're either just do it, just like you get the box and immediately do it. Don't even ask production if you're able to do it. Yeah. But then you risk them getting pissed off at you. That's something I just know for a fact Jeff would be seething over.
Yeah. But, like, whenever a player like outsmarts the production team, Jeff would not take that lightly, I'm sure.
Well, and that's not even really outsmarting them. That's just like, I'm not even going to deal with this, you know. But then I feel like if you ask production, you know, I guess be more polite about it, they're obviously going to say no. They're going to say, no, you need to find the key. You can't do that, you know. So I feel like you're kind of stuck, either like take the chance that production's going to be pissed off at you, or you ask them and they just say no.
What's that saying? You know, it's ask for forgiveness rather than permission, or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
just forge ahead. Chris is saying,
just do it and then just say you're sorry afterwards.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize. I'm a new player at this game. This is my first day, my second day in the game. I didn't know the rules. And in fact, I'll be like, Jeff, didn't you say that this is a microcosm of society and that
some people cheat?
And the rules are created by those that play each season. Isn't that what you've said so many times? I'm creating the rule. This is a rule this season for me to be able to break through.
You got to be profound. You got to make it somehow profound to Jeff to sort of, so he can understand it.
Get a great analogy for him to dissect on that one. Chris says, good thing Kahuna isn't here, because he would talk about Australian Survivor. Also, hey, it's hard not to compare. I'm trying to keep it to a minimum. I hope I'm not annoying too many people by bringing it up. But for me, as a fan of Survivor in general and watching both shows, I can't not do it. Gabe says, to be fair, they didn't have paper saying they needed the key loophole. I feel like there was something, though, Gabe, that said that they needed to get a key, but I could be wrong. Palava says, Jay, box was not at camp. Yeah, the box wasn't at camp, but the I think the clue was at camp, at least. But when they came back, that they needed to decipher. So obviously here we've got Jess's storyline being set up, which is going to become quite a big one. She really struggles out there, and she doesn't really talk to a lot of people. She's got ADHD that she's been diagnosed with recently, and she kind of goes into her shell. And hats off to someone like Jess, who throughout this first episode really just struggled the whole episode, but she still found a way to not quit the show. I was so worried throughout the whole thing that she was going to quit. And we obviously had a few people that quit the show last season. This seems like it could have been something that could have taken her out, but she's still forging ahead, even though she's struggling. Even at tribal council, she was fighting for her spot in the game.
Yeah, for sure. She was, you know, pushing back on everything that Jelensky was throwing at her, you know, even though, I mean, man, if I were in her shoes, I'd be like, wow, this is just too rough for me. You know, like she was saying that, you know, she couldn't even like really fully comprehend anything that anyone was saying because her mind was just gone. And yeah, it's just that, I guess, that lack of food and sleep. I mean, well, it's really the lack of sleep. I mean, that's just going to mess anybody up, you know. But for sure, I'm with you. You know, hats off for her. I didn't even hear her contemplate quitting even once. She was just like, yeah, I just got to keep going. You know, it sucks. But
100%.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more hyper aware of also the struggle that some people go through because of something that happened, and I won't spoil, in the season of Australian Survivor with mental health. And now I feel like that has made me a little bit more sort of aware and lenient towards some people's and struggles when they're out there. So I was looking at it and I was really worried for her, because you want her to be okay as a person more so than just, you know, a player, because sometimes we forget that they're people and they have people at home, right, who love them and they've got things going on. So you just want her to be okay while she's out there. But I'm glad that she was able to push through. One person we haven't spoken about at all is Banu from this episode. What a lovable character. He's another one that I kind of forgot about him, but came to America, became a citizen. As soon as he applied, he got on immediately. And he kind of reminds me of Nasir a little bit. Like I get that, even though I know they're from different countries, I get that vibe a little bit from him. Like these big fans that didn't grow up in the United States who came over, both of them, English isn't their first language, but they kind of, you know, grew up watching Survivor. So he's a lovable character as well. And I really like him. He seems like also just one of the more normal people in some way. Like, it's like, what are people doing in this tribe?
I think that it's funny because I feel like his personality is a bit, or I guess his demeanor is pretty out there. Like he's just like super happy-go-lucky, very expressive, you know, with his body, especially like in his first couple confessionals. But yeah, you're right. When it comes to the game, he's quite grounded. He's just sort of like seeing what everything that's happening specifically with like Jelinski, and he's just like, what is going on? Like, what are you doing, dude? And it's just funny because I feel like at the beginning of the episode, I wouldn't expect that from him, to be sort of like the straight man in any scenario, you know? Yeah.
Chris saying, speaking of quitting, my money is on Liz. No way that woman who is allergic to everything is long for this game. Why did they allow her on?
Oh, right.
Yeah, she didn't get much of an edit either, right?
No, Liz? She didn't.
And again, it's one of those ones where I was just personally, I found it so hard to like connect with like Liz or Mariah. Like I just don't have that connection. Like, again, it's not me being harsh. Like, I've said this about other people before in this podcast, and then I'm open-minded. They could change my mind about this 2-3 episodes down the line. But this first episode, I just couldn't connect, to be honest. So obviously they go to the immunity challenge here. Surprise, surprise, Purple ends up losing this. They have, you know, the supplies waiting at camp, which I was annoyed at after the immunity challenge. They had to move this massive gecko through an obstacle course, which it's kind of fun. I'm not going to lie. I kind of like this challenge a little bit. This is one of those moments where, you know, I don't see a massive gecko being moved on Australian Survivor because it's just too cheesy for Australian Survivor to do that. But I kind of liked it in this specific moment. And then obviously at the end, they had to do this puzzle they had to put together, which looked, you know, it's a classic Survivor puzzle, but it looked like it had a lot of pieces to it. Orange smashes through it. They are clearly the tribe to watch out. I believe that's their second win in a row. Green comes in second place here, sending Purple to tribal council. And then immediately, like, Banu, I like you, but why the tears on day two or day three of this game? Like, people crying about someone having to go home so early on. This is what you sign up for. Jeff didn't even react to it. He didn't even react to Banu's crying about it.
I know. Yeah. This is where, me and I watched it with my girlfriend and her family, and we all just felt the same way. We're just like, really? Like, really? You're only, what, 2 or 3 days in? Like, it's not that crazy. I get it from like a more empathetic standpoint of like, we all, I'm assuming, like, this is our dream, you know, and that just sucks that we are like going to be a part of ending that dream. But like, framing it in the way of like, we've become so close and we just love each other and we just can't bear the thought of like, okay, you're not ever going to be that close with somebody from just 3 days. Like, especially when you're like, you know, you're playing the game, you're thinking about voting them out before that. So, it comes off as fake.
I agree. They get back to camp. Jelinski takes a break, goes and lies in the camp, has a nice little bit of a chat with Jess instead of strategizing. Classic Jelinski, right?
Okay, we didn't talk about this, but just real quick with Jelinski, when he, not only did he fold immediately at Decision Island, but then he came back to camp and told everyone about it and told them the truth about it and said, I just folded immediately.
Yeah.
Okay. Jelinski, it's already bad enough that you folded, but I was thinking like, oh, he's just going to say like, I tried, guys. Like I had the skull. I lied and lied and lied and lied, but she just didn't buy it. She chose the other guy and I lost my vote. That would have been like, ah, that sucks, man. But at least you tried, you know, but no, he just told them. And I just like, it, like I'm trying. I'm really trying to rationalize because I really don't want to be rude to any players. Because as somebody who, you know, aspires to be on the show one day, I don't want anybody like being rude to me about how I play the game. But I just really can't rationalize in my head why he thought they would understand that. Because in his interview with Rob, he says that their reaction to that was totally unexpected to him. He was expecting them to understand.
It's crazy. It's crazy that he thought him putting his own personal game ahead of that of the tribe would be acceptable in their eyes. Like it's crazy. And that he's still, after watching this back, having had some clarity of thought and food in his stomach, you know, still thinks that it was an okay thing for him to do, to throw his tribe under the bus and admit it openly. Like, listen, I understand you don't want to piss off people on the other side. It's so early in the game. Like, you could have easily spoken about it and said, hey, how would it have looked in front of my tribe if I folded and I just gave the votes to you guys? Like, you know, that's not good for my tribe. Like, you've got to understand, there's nothing against you. I don't even know you guys. Like, how was this a move against you if I don't even know who you are? I've never even met you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because like,
this should be another reason why you should work with me, because it shows that I'm loyal if you get to know me. Like, could have flipped it on them. The level of thinking, it's just not there. I mean, like I said, he went into camp, goes and sits in the camp and talks to Jess about both of them being in danger here. Ultimately, Q is the person who turns people on Jelinski, because it looked like some of the girls still wanted to work with him. They were sort of still interested.
That was surprising me, man, that he like almost survived.
I think it was Kenzie. I think he connected with Kenzie at some sort of a level. And like Tiff said, like, I'm not sure if Kenzie's going to come around. And maybe it was that fan level where she was just like, I can't do it to him. He's such a big fan. He's a good guy. Like, I think we can rely on him. I can also see it from a strength point of view, just physical strength, saying like maybe he'll, but Survivor US is very rarely based on physical sort of strength when it comes to these team competitions. You need someone with some smarts, and he wasn't really helping in the puzzle either. He didn't do anything.
I was going to say, like, he didn't really seem to be helping that much with the gecko, moving the gecko, and he wasn't good at the puzzle. They weren't going to win anyways because they were just so behind. But even then,
Oh, look who we've got here, our very own Jelinski, who did not make it to the podcast in the live. Mr. Kahuna himself saying, Kahuna. He just assumed he gets to the merch for that to pay off. Totally agree. Palava Girl says, leave my Jelinski alone. He's a legend. Okay, I liked him. He's a fun character. Legend? I don't know.
Yeah.
Jay says, the scene of Banu feeding Jelinski was really funny. Well, look who just showed up. Exactly, tell him. This is how legends are made. So I don't want to talk about tribal council. They go to tribal council here. Obviously, the vote's been changed here. What did you think of tribal? Like, I think probably the best work I've seen at a tribal council in a very long time. Like, it looked like they were somewhere in like Kyoto or back in Japan. Like the level of detail that goes into these tribal councils, like, it's pretty impressive.
For sure. I was thinking that. Yeah, I was like, whoa. Like, yeah, it totally caught me off guard, like how awesome it looked.
And this is what I don't understand, right? They put an effort to think about tribe names. They put an effort to think about, like, how tribal council is going to look, theming challenges in a certain way. But then they just don't put a theme on the season. So that's why for me it's now orange, purple, and green, because they can't care enough to actually name their seasons after a theme. Why should I care enough to care about what the tribe names are? This season I'm going to completely just give up on that, and it's just going to be color names for me from now on, because if they don't put the effort into actually thinking of a theme, why should I put the effort into talking about the tribe names? And it's almost like they have a theme in mind here, but it's like a production secret, and it's some sort of samurai theme for this season that only production knows about and only the players on the season knows about. But where's the audience? We're there. It's like Cluedo. We've got to figure out the clues of what theme is happening in front of our eyes this season.
Right.
It's like annoys me. It annoys me, Jake. I want to know what the theme is this season. And it's like an easy way for us to get invested into the characters as well, you know? But anyways,
it is. When they connect well to the theme, that's always, you know, the best, but just don't have it.
Yeah. So Jay says, Jeff said he doesn't have themes anymore because they're hard to come up with. The themes don't really factor into the gameplay. But it makes the seasons less memorable. It adds to the whole Groundhog Day that we're experiencing with every single season being exactly the same without there being a theme for me personally. Okay. Bounce out, Jake. I think, you know, we are pretty much at the end here in any case of this episode. We spoke about most of it. Zelensky being voted out, not a big shocker at the end. I think the tribal council itself fell a bit flat.
Well, it was a shock to Zelensky because he was
blindsided. It was a shock to Zelensky. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But he played himself out of the game at the end of the day here. But, you know, this is, I guess, the recap and review for the first week of Australian Survivor. We will be back next week to talk about, hopefully we'll get Kahuna back on as well to talk about episode 2. Like I said, some good and bad with the season so far, but it's too early on to make a judgment on where the season's going to go.
Always get better.
It can always go up from here.
The cast is key.
Is key, and especially because we've got the longer episodes this season.
Yeah, that definitely,
is needed. And this
that's what made 45 good.
Exactly. And the season wasn't filmed with that intention of the show being longer either. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because last time they did. All right. Did I call it Australia Survivor? Did I?
I think you did. Yeah.
It's habit, because I've been covering both.
You're just saying which show you wish you were talking about right now.
I just want I want Survivor 46 to be good. Yeah. I just want to put that out there. I really want... This is the show that... Australian Survivor is not the show that... Like, it came because of the success of Survivor US, right? So we need Survivor USA to be good. I'm just very fearful that Jeff doesn't listen to people anymore. He's on his own track. But like I said, let's see what happens for the rest of the season. Excited to see where this is going to go. If you like this content... You know, make sure to jump on next week, get in the live if you can, take part in the conversation, tell us why we are wrong, why we're right, what do you like about the season. But for now, you know, we'll catch you guys next time. Grab your torches, head back to camp. Thank you so much. Bye.